Part 1, Chapter 11, The Rose of the Sevenfold Manifestation of God. At some time or other, you will no doubt have seen the image of the stylized rose in the literature of the modern Rosy Cross or in one of the temple buildings. This rose is formed by seven interlocking circles with a common center. It is the symbol of the cosmic septenary, the true divine earth planet. When we see this sevenfold rose attached to the cross, and we certainly understand the symbolic meaning. A person who chooses this rosy cross as his goal is a transfigurist. This person breaks out of the electromagnetic prison of dialectical nature via the path of the cross in order to enable his readmission to the lost fatherland, the immovable kingdom. You notice from this that not everybody who calls himself a Rosicrucian advocates the same idea, and not everyone who claims to follow the Rosy Cross goes the same way. There are mystical, occult, religious, and transfigurist Rosy Cross symbols. Herein, of course, lies a great danger for seekers, for not every flag covers the proper cargo. Great caution with symbolism is therefore of the utmost importance to those still seeking their path. The rose symbol of the cosmic septenary is also chiseled on the foundation stone of the International Renova Rosy Cross Temple in Bilthoven in the Netherlands. This stone thus expresses the vocation of the modern spiritual school. We also find on this cornerstone the cross, that is the path on which and by means of which the goal must be reached. Further, we find the allusions to the four holy foods, the four original elementary forces, the travel provisions on the journey to the goal of the rose. Now, one might ask, won't this symbol of such a glorious reality turn out at some stage to be a delusion in many ways? One can imagine that a wonderful idea can uplift and straighten people from their stooped gait in the treadmills of habit. Just as a spark of joy can restore a little courage to someone, so too, the idea of a journey to the original Jerusalem can lend the courage to face stony reality with a smile. Therefore, it is good to keep on speaking about a new life. It always helps a little. But the realization, alas. There are perhaps people of this state of soul who joined the spiritual school in order to take refreshment exclusively in the sweetness of an idea. Let us therefore explain to you how much the symbol of the cosmic septenary, the symbol of the Rosy Cross, and the four holy foods are the characteristics of a reality so close to us that one of the great ones could say, "The kingdom of God, it is within you." You will recall that we discussed in which way fallen mankind is held captive in its field of existence, namely, in the electromagnetic field of the natural forces opposing man. In the earth sphere of primal images and in the sphere of the natural forces, a steadily growing resistance towards any ungodly life develops. As these earth spheres correspond completely with our field of existence, all those affected by the fall are held in electromagnetic captivity and, through volcanic and other phenomena of nature, furnished with an atmosphere which exactly matches our state of being. Anyone who studies in which way divine nature protects itself will realize the truth of Jacob Bohm's words. God made a self-contained totality of this field of existence, in which all fallen humanity must emerge, bloom and decay in rotation until the dawn of the day of self-liberation. Every entity developing within the cosmic septenary is closely associated with the fundamental life formula of this planet. Whoever in any way opposes this fundamental law of life produces a vibration, summoning immediate resistance from the fundamental natural forces. These fundamental natural forces automatically send out an electromagnetic current encircling and binding the rebellious entity so as to prevent it from any act of violation outside itself. Thus, it is admitted to a self-contained totality for protection from itself. Within this new electromagnetic field, four elementary forces are brought into manifestation to serve the entity in its seclusion as provisions. Hydrogen for his soul radiation, oxygen for the combustion process, nitrogen to regulate and maintain the combustion process, and carbon to express the idea of life prevailing in the field concerned. These four dialectical forces, however, hardly possess any of the characteristics of the original four holy foods. They whirl up AG from countless volcanic craters, guided by the natural forces, thus forming the four holy foods adapted for us by transformation. The transformer station is located in the Earth sphere of natural forces, and the atmosphere thus produced is held fast by the electromagnetic field, just as we are. The pure, original elementary powers are likewise present within the Earth. The center of these forces is located in the heart of the cosmic septenary and coincides approximately with the center of what we call the Earth. These forces flow from the seven North Poles to feed all divine creatures. They are held together as original atmosphere by the electromagnetic field of the seven strata of natural forces as this develops according to its original being. The four original elements and the four dialectical elements therefore share the same origin. They are vibrations and emanations of the original primordial substance. Now let us suppose that the incidental dialectical electromagnetic field was suddenly to be discontinued. At that very moment, the dialectical atmosphere would cease to exist and would disperse in space. We would all find ourselves in the infinite sea of the original atmosphere. As we would not be able to hold our ground there, we would instantly perish for lack of air. We would have to drown in the sea of living waters. It is a good thing to dwell on this point for a moment, because it follows that our prison is not just a penal settlement, but simultaneously a haven of grace where efforts are made to help us reobtain sonship of God. The truth of Jacob Bohme's words is reaffirmed. God has assailed this world in its heart in order to enable us to return. Now perhaps it is clear to your consciousness that there are two atmospheric fields. Not one here and another somewhere else, but simultaneously and existentially present, just as there are two electromagnetic fields existentially present. One condition is marked by the state of fallenness and grace, the state of patience and rescue, the other by absoluteness and divinity. Both conditions are simultaneously present in the same space, here and now. No place can be found where the ocean of divine fullness of life, the Pleroma, is not present. The kingdom of God and its life atmosphere is nearer than hands and feet. It is veritably within you. The great ones who testify to this divine fullness of life say to us, "Look, I am with you always, even unto the end of your world. Among you stands one whom you do not know. I will give water without price from the fountain of the water of life. If you want to drink this water and to go and live in the other atmosphere, you will have to leave your own incidental world and will have to end your present world. Go, sell what you have, and follow me." However, in order to leave the prison of your incidental world, you must become master of the stone. You must lay the first stone for a new temple building. But in order to become a master, you must first become an apprentice temple builder. Chosen as such by experience, you have become thoroughly acquainted with the nature of your dialectical prison and discovered that this world at the same time is a place of mercy, because the Gnosis does not wish your destruction. It wants to help you. For this reason, a universal brotherhood bridging the chasm between the two life atmospheres exists. It brings you something of the original living water in different forms, adapted to your state of being. You cannot dare to take the whole leap, and you don't have to. There are brothers and sisters to help you at every step you like to take, who put your foot on one stone of the bridge which leads from your present state to the other. Why should you be fearful and frightened? There is nobody forcing you to take a step of which you are not yet capable. No brother will ever constrain you. Stay put on the present stone, and when you have the strength for the next step, you will be helped. This is why we are told, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." There is but one condition to the path. You are required to be an apprentice temple builder. Then you will undoubtedly one day become a master of the stone. And what does it mean to be an apprentice temple builder? It means laying the first stone for a new temple building and preparing that first stone in the right way. May we teach you how to do this? Well then, take a piece of hard stone, place yourself in front of the stony, hard reality of your dialectical, aimless existence. Place yourself in front of this reality with the sharp chisel of right attitude and unshakable determination, and with all your might, carve into it the stylized rose of the cosmic septenary. This stylized rose is then like a window in your prison through which you are able to look outside. It was through this rose that Goethe's Faust looked. Through this rose, Dante gazed at paradise. Through this rose, the apprentice temple builder sees with a clear eye. Through this window, the apprentice now breaks, chisels, and hews the cross. He clears his path this way to liberation. In this sign he will be victorious, as was Christian Rosicross. Then he places his stone before the gnosis, and while he proceeds on the enduristic path of self-dissolution, finishing up his old world, he invokes with the keenness of his weapons the four holy foods: ignis, the original hydrogen; flamma, the oxygen of divine reality; materia, the twofold power of fulfillment; mater, the molding, original carbon. And then he lays his stone in the niche of realization in the upper hall of the architects. What do you think will happen now? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared upon them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. The new atmosphere, the ancient spirit fire, seizes the pilgrim and rests on him, now that he, as one old painting portrays it, breaks with his head and his staff through the sphere of dialectical delusion and gazes at the reality of the stylized rose, no longer as a symbol, but as inner possession, as a reality opening up to him. His system becomes a radioactive field of the brotherhood. He enters the original electromagnetic field. Through the laying of the first stone, the flames of the spiritual fire are kindled, and the apprentice temple builder becomes master of the stone.
May you soon behold the rose of the sevenfold revelation of God as a sevenfold flaming fire. May you commence the building of your temple in this brilliant fire.